First Chronicles 12:19 through First Chronicles 14. From Manasseh, some also defected to David when he was about to go to battle with the Philistines against Saul. But they did not help them, because the governors of the Philistines sent him away after consultation, saying, "At the cost of our heads, he might defect to his master Saul." As he was going to Ziklag, men from Manasseh defected to him: Adnah, Jozabad, Jediel, Michael, Jozabad, Elihu, and Zilethai, captains of thousands who belonged to Manasseh. They helped David against the band of raiders, for they were all valiant, mighty men, and were captains in the army. For day by day, men came to David to help him, until there was a great army like the army of God. Now these are the numbers of the divisions equipped for war, who came to David at Hebron, to turn the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord. The sons of Judah who carried the shield and spear numbered 6,800, equipped for war. From the sons of Simeon, valiant, mighty men of war, 7,100. From the sons of Levi, 4,600. Now Jehoiada was the leader of the house of Aaron, and with him were 3,700. Also Zadok, a young, valiant, mighty man, and from his father's house, 22 captains. From the sons of Benjamin, Saul's kinsmen, 3,000. For until now, the majority of them had kept their allegiance to the house of Saul. From the sons of Ephraim, 20,800 valiant, mighty men, famous men in their father's households. From the half-tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, who were designated by name to come and make David king. From the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times, with knowledge of what Israel should do, their chiefs were 200, and all their kinsmen were at their command. From Zebulun, there were 50,000 who went out in the army, who could draw up in battle formation with all kinds of weapons of war, and helped David with an undivided heart. From Naphtali, there were 1,000 captains, and with them 37,000 with shield and spear. From the Danites who could draw up in battle formation, there were 28,600. From Asher, there were 40,000 who went out in the army to draw up in battle formation. From the other side of the Jordan, from the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, there were 120,000 with all kinds of weapons of war for the battle. All of these, being men of war who helped in battle formation, came to Hebron with a perfect heart to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest of Israel also were of one mind to make David king. They were there with David for 3 days, eating and drinking, for their kinsmen had prepared for them. Moreover, those who were near to them, as far as Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali, brought food on donkeys, camels, mules, and on oxen, great quantities of flour cakes, fig cakes, and bunches of raisins, wine, oil, oxen, and sheep. There was joy indeed in Israel. Then David consulted with the captains of the thousands and the hundreds, with every leader. David said to all the assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you, and if it is from the Lord our God, let us send word everywhere to our kinsmen who remain in all the land of Israel, and to the priests and Levites who are with them in their cities with pasture lands, that they meet with us, and let us bring back the ark of our God to us, since we did not seek it in the days of Saul." Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for this was right in the eyes of all the people. So David assembled all Israel together, from the Shehor of Egypt to the entrance of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kiriath Jearim. David and all Israel went up to Bala, that is, Kiriath Jearim, which belongs to Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, the Lord who is enthroned above the cherubim, where his name is called. And they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. David and all Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, with songs and with lyres, harps, tambourines, cymbals, and trumpets. when they came to the threshing floor of Shidon, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, because the oxen nearly overturned it. But the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, so he struck him because he had put out his hand toward the ark, and he died there before God. Then David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah, and he called that place Perez Uzzah, as it is to this day. David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How can I bring the ark of God home to me?" So David did not take the ark with him into the city of David, but took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house for 3 months. And the Lord blessed the family of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David with cedar trees, masons, and carpenters to build a house for him. And David realized that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that his kingdom was highly exalted for the sake of his people Israel. Then David took more wives in Jerusalem, and David fathered more sons and daughters. These are the names of the children born to him in Jerusalem: Shemua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Elpelet, Noga, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Bileada, and Eliphelet. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up in search of David. And David heard about it, and went out against them. Now the Philistines had come and carried out a raid in the valley of Rephaim. David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines, and will you hand them over to me?" Then the Lord said to him, "Go up, for I will hand them over to you." So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And David said, "God has broken through my enemy's hand, like the breakthrough of waters." Therefore they named the place Baal Perazim. They abandoned their gods there. So David gave the order, and they were burned with fire. The Philistines carried out yet another raid in the valley. David inquired again of God, and God said to him, "You shall not go up after them. Circle around behind them, and come at them in the front of the baca shrubs. When you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the baca shrubs, then you shall go out to battle, for God will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines." David did just as God had commanded him, and they defeated the army of the Philistines from Gibeon even as far as Gezer. Then the fame of David spread in all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him on all the nations. Matthew 11. When Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now, while in prison, John heard about the works of Christ, and he sent word by his disciples, and said to him, "Are you the coming one? Or are we to look for someone else?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. Those who are blind receive sight, and those who limp walk. Those with leprosy are cleansed, and those who are deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is any person who does not take offense at me." As these disciples of John were going away, Jesus began speaking to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who wear soft clothing are in kings' palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been treated violently, and violent men take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah who was to come. The one who has ears to hear, let him hear." But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces, who call out to the other children and say, "We played a flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a song of mourning, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man, and a heavy drinker, and a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' And yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." Then he began to reprimand the cities in which most of his miracles were done, because they did not repent. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that had occurred in you occurred in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the miracles that occurred in you had occurred in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son determines to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is comfortable, and my burden is light." Acts 8. Now Saul approved of putting Stephen to death, and on that day a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen, and mourned loudly for him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, and he would drag away men and women and put them in prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered went through places preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and began proclaiming the Christ to them. The crowds were paying attention with one mind to what was being said by Philip, as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed or limped on crutches were healed. So there was much rejoicing in that city. Now a man named Simon had previously been practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And all the people, from small to great, were paying attention to him, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they were paying attention to him because for a long time he had astounded them with his magical arts. But when they believed Philip as he was preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were being baptized. Now even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was repeatedly amazed. Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, that they would receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could acquire the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the the intention of your heart will be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness, and in the bondage of unrighteousness. But Simon answered and said, Pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. So then, when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem, and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Get ready and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he got ready and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go up and join this chariot. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, Well, how could I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture he was reading was this, He was led like a sheep to slaughter, and like a lamb that is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his justice was taken away. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And he ordered that the chariot stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities, until he came to Caesarea. Proverbs 4:20-27. My son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. They are not to escape from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Rid yourself of a deceitful mouth, and keep devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Psalm 10:1-11. Why do you stand far away, Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the needy. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his soul's desire, and the greedy person curses and shows disrespect to the Lord. The wicked, in his haughtiness, does not seek him. There is no God in all his schemes. His ways succeed at all times, yet your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he snorts at them. He says to himself, I will not be moved. Throughout the generations I will not be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing, deceit, and oppression. Under his tongue is harm and injustice. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. He kills the innocent in the secret places. His eyes surreptitiously watch for the unfortunate. He lurks in secret like a lion in his lair. He lurks to catch the needy. He catches the needy when he pulls them into his net. Then he crushes the needy one, who cowers. And unfortunate people fall by his mighty power. He says to himself, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it.